Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Mill Smith and joined with Jay Cranda, who's driving around the streets of Orange County, I believe. Jay, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm in between things, but I was really excited to talk about what we're talking about today.
Yeah, and so we're talking a little controversial today in this episode. We'll get to that topic. I wanted to touch basically on a couple things. You and I have had this conversation a little bit, and I have made the mistake of calling Orange County Los Angeles. Can you explain to our listeners what the difference is between Los Angeles and Orange County?
The difference between Los Angeles and Orange County is like comparing San Antonio with Houston. So,
but they're next to each other. I fly into LA to go to Orange County sometimes.
This is the thing. If you look at a big global, if you're looking at a state map, definitely Los Angeles. I used to work at a hotel at Disneyland. I remember people from all around the world would drive in and say like, oh, we're right here. You know, they're at Disneyland and they're thinking they're right next to LA. I'm like, no, you're like an hour and a half, you know, if there's no traffic next to LA. And so Orange County is pretty much, it's south of LA County. It's pretty much sandwiched between, you know, San Diego and LA, but it's this very nice area. It includes Newport and Laguna Beach and it's all sorts. It's very diverse, but it's beautiful here. So I love Orange County, but yes, they're not the same thing. Very different. I would rather live in Orange County than LA any day. I've been to LA all of probably like 30 times in my life. I avoid it with like the plague.
So you're from Long Beach, is that right?
Yeah. So actually Seal Beach, but yeah, right next to Long Beach. So yeah, there, but like, you know, LA, you got to deal with all the traffic. Like I deal with traffic I'm going to sound like the SNL skit naming freeways here. But, you know, the 405 and the 5, but I live 7 minutes away from my church and the place I work. So I don't have to deal with freeways. But if you go down to LA, you kidding me? It's like, that's why I'm a huge Laker fan, but I don't go down to watch the Lakers at Staples Center. I don't want to deal with parking and all that crazy thing. I'm an old man in a young man's body. Okay.
All right. I got it. Wait, and I think probably the reason you don't want to go to the Staples Center is because the Lakers are terrible. But, you know, whatever.
Well, and I know by the time this show's going to air, this has already probably been decided. But just by the way, Clippers game 7, taking it.
Clippers game 7. We'll see. The other thing that I wanted to mention before we jump into the show is a big thank you to all of our new listeners. Jay, you and I we switched to Libsyn for our podcast hosting, which has given us incredible analytics. And we have seen our podcast downloads double over the last 2 months. And it's so exciting. I get so many tweets and emails and messages from folks that are listening. And so we appreciate all the new listeners. We appreciate all the consistent listeners who have been listening for a couple of years, like you and I have been, Jay. And so we're excited about the growth of the podcast and everything that's happening. So, you know, and even transparency in our numbers, and we're having a hard time even understanding the analytics, and we'll talk analytics more and more, but I believe we've gone from 2,000 listeners to 3,000, and now we almost hit 6,000 this last month. And so it really is tremendous and exciting to see how many people are listening, and we appreciate everybody for tuning in and joining us.
Yeah, we're just very grateful for people to take it out of their time to listen and engage, and just, you know, we both heard from so many different people, and it's fun for us to share what we're learning. We're also learning in the process as people interject, and we want to say continue to suggest topics for our shows using the hashtag SMC podcast and sending in private messaging to our email account and on Facebook page. And again, thank you so much.
Absolutely. And we hope this is providing value for you on the go. And so Jay, just like you're on the go right now and we had to scramble and do this through the phone. We know so many of you guys are busy and you've got lots to do. And so taking the time to listen means a lot to us. And so we hope that we're packing a lot of value into a short time in this new system that we have created of doing the weekly podcast for about 20 minutes. So this week we're going to talk about Twitter followers. We're going to talk about Facebook fans and how you grow your platform. And then I guess where it gets a little controversial is paying for those. And so what does it look like to buy followers on social media? Why would you buy followers? How much does it cost? And when we're talking church space, is that good stewardship, and is that even right? And I think there's, this is maybe not a black and white situation as a lot of people might perceive it to be. There's kind of a lot of gray in here. And so, Jay, I'll let you kind of kick it off and share what are your thoughts, or what is your awareness and experience around buying Twitter followers? And I'll share my personal experience as well and what we do at the church.
Yeah. So I definitely think buying followers, as much as I don't make this a black and white, I think it can be okay. And I think it actually can be good for your brand, for your church, whatever you're doing, under some unique scenarios. I think some people in social media circles make it such a like, oh, it's fake and phony, whatever. I think that only makes sense, that you only have an argument there that it's not good, is if you continue to do it. But I think people, churches that are trying to get an influence, you need to have a presence. And sometimes to have that presence, you need to look like you know something. And this is where Twitter followers are really good. I think in the launch phase of any church, I think the launch phase of any product or any new program, whatever it is, I think you need to have a certain amount of followers to be respectable. And that's where I think it's okay as a church, if you're just getting going and you want to buy some followers, like let's say 500, 500 Facebook likes or 500 Twitter followers, I think that's okay. Now, I think where it gets a little sketchy, if you start buying them by the hundreds and the tens of thousands. And so I'm okay at the launch phase of something. And the reason is because we tend to, as people, only listen to people that are respectable. And so it's like, you know, we've all done this. You probably had this encounter. You start talking to somebody who starts talking about social media or something or talking about church, and you can tell right off the bat that they kind of don't know what they're talking about, but they're acting like they know what they're talking about. But you just don't, you automatically don't really respect what they're saying because they really don't have any understanding. And you kind of tell by the way they talk, you kind of, the language they're using, and maybe even by, you checked out their followers and you realize they only have 10 Twitter followers, but they're trying to tell me how I should run my account. And so I think this is where churches are put into a unique scenario that at the start of something. And what I mean by that is at the start of your Twitter account, maybe it might be worthwhile to figure out ways to aggressively grow your account. And one of those options, there's many options at the beginning stages, is buying some followers.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting tension. And so there's a lot of perspective of how that works. And Twitter is probably where it's most common. Yeah. And so you and I have talked about this offline quite a bit. And so just to be transparent of what I've done personally and what I've done with the church in the past, is I have personally bought fake Twitter followers for my personal Twitter account. I bought them on Fiverr. That's how I was actually first introduced to Fiverr. I saw it on Mashable, and I was like, really? You can do that? And so I went and bought for $5 something like 10,000 Twitter followers, and I was like, no way. And immediately people started being like, wow, you have like 15,000 Twitter followers.
Yeah.
And people started following me, I think because I had a lot of followers, and I was like, you know, that perceived credibility went a long way. Now, what ended up happening within about a month and a half, those 10,000 Twitter followers just disappeared. So I think what happens is that these are fake accounts that are created. They follow people that pay the $5 or however it works. And then Twitter catches on and deletes those accounts and those followers go away. So I have done it personally. I have not bought fake Twitter followers for the church. The other thing I have bought fake, I say fake. I don't know how it works. YouTube video views. I did the same thing. $5 on Fiverr for like 5,000 video views. And honestly, within a day, that YouTube video got shut down. So I tried it on my personal account first, and that YouTube video got shut down. And so I kind of learned a lesson there. I understand that Twitter is now kind of pulling the red flag on those fake followers and will shut down accounts if you buy fake ones. So you really can't do that as much. I think that people used to do that for Instagram a little bit. So here's my question for you though, Jay, and then we'll get into more practical ways of some I say real ways. I mean, that's a real way to build a following, but some just genuine people followers, how to build that platform. But is it deceptive? So you're creating perceived credibility, you know, and perceived, you know, that perception that what you're saying is significant. And it worked for me personally, you know, so I saw the value in that. But is that deceptive in doing that? And so are we deceiving people? And especially as a church, if we were to do that, are we being deceptive in doing that? What do you think?
I've talked about this in length with a couple of people, and, you know, to me personally, I don't think it's a moral issue. I don't think there's a moral issue. I know some people try to make it out. We're talking about marketing here. Regardless, you can say a Twitter account, you're presenting a false self, even as you're constantly promoting good things. Because ultimately, even every tweet doesn't represent your body as a church, wherever you're at. I think that you're trying to present yourself to the community. No matter what, there is some, you know, almost like pompous promotion, continually acting like everything's good. Acting like every, you know, only posting stories of life change on your church is also saying that, wait, no, people get frustrated at every church and leave. That happens too. So regardless of what you're doing on Twitter or Facebook, there's a false promotion going on. You're trying to promote what's really happening at the core. But regardless, if you're saying fake followers buying that is wrong, then also saying everything's great and rosy and shiny is wrong too. And so I think this is that line that you're trying to be real, you're trying to be authentic. But I also think you got to get a foot in there. And so obviously, you know, if you're a big, large company, you're paying for TV ads and you have millions of dollars, and really those millions of dollars at that size isn't any more really promoting a product. You're just doing brand awareness. And so, but at a smaller level, at a church level, I think that it is okay to buy a couple hundred followers just to get the foot in the door, to let your community know that you're a presence here, that you're getting going. And the reason why, I really think about it this way. If I was selling a product, let's say if I was selling a new way to, you know, something ridiculous, a new way to grow hair or something, you know, on your head, you know, for people that are bald. And I wanted to get that going. If I had like this product, like in a bottle that can get it, and I think it's the best product ever, and I know if I can get people to use that, they'll know they no longer have to get like hair plugs or follicles or something, or use this other product. I know that if they spend $20 one time, it will change their life. I would be, if I had the branding and everything, if I own the product and I want that product to excel, I'd be willing to buy 500 Twitter followers to get that going. I would personally do that. But then after the 500, I would use that as a catapult on top of that. Behind that, I would have this healthy organic strategy. I'm going to start tweeting everybody that tweets me. I'm going to start posting a couple times every day consistently. And I would have this robust strategy on top of it. The fake followers wouldn't be something that I would be relying off of. I would also be relying on this organic, healthy strategy behind it. But I would be okay on a product level. I don't know why that would change for a church. I think there's a way that you can launch that. But that's where I land personally.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a fine line. You know, we walk as church leaders, and even you kind of bringing up that marketing and I don't think we can really separate, you know, and just say, well, that's just marketing. And I the example that I'll use, and I'm hesitant because my, you know, I've got friends involved in the situation, but what happened at Mars Hill, you know, and what they did,
yep,
with the book marketing and promotion, and I think, you know, as you talk to people, that the technique that they used is not uncommon, you know, just like buying Twitter followers. Yeah. You and I know that's not uncommon. You know, most significant Twitter, yeah, people that have a massive Twitter following have fake Twitter followers. Yeah. And I see a lot of people like, oh, did you know that this person, look how many Twitter followers they have. We know that most of those are bought, but most people don't realize that. And it's a common marketing practice that, I think can be misperceived very quickly and misunderstood. And so I think we've got to be careful, and we're stewards of church resources, and that includes church Twitter accounts. And so, you know, just to speak to, you know, some other techniques that I use and that we've used as a church is we buy page likes for all of our Facebook pages. Now this is a paid Facebook advertising opportunity. We feel like it's an evangelism opportunity to get the name, get people connected to the church. I've run some Twitter ads to grow the platform. Didn't see much success there, so I kind of pulled that funding. I'm trying to think of other advertising efforts that we've done. We bought some YouTube ads, and I see actually significant value there. We haven't invested heavily in YouTube though, so we haven't really sought out to build that platform. The other tool I use is, it actually just changed its name from Just Unfollow to Crowdfire. And it's basically a platform that you connect your account to. You can follow up to 1,000 people on Twitter a day. You can follow up to 100 people on Instagram per hour. And you basically, they call it copy following. And so you'll follow 1,000 people from somebody else's, that are followers of somebody else's account. And those, you know, about 10% of those people follow you back is what we found statistically. This is one of the things I do. We do it at the church, and I do it in my consulting business. I've got about 25 accounts on Twitter and about 10 on Instagram that we do use this copy following technique. It's not really buying followers, but it is a technique to grow your following. Some people even see, some deceptive marketing with that. Right? Wouldn't you just want to organically grow it? Organically works. It's just slow. And we want to reach people faster than just waiting and hoping that they'll find us. But what are some of your thoughts about that, or any other techniques or things that you're using to grow your social following?
Yeah, and I definitely think that Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, they're getting more and more aggressive in blocking maybe unhealthy tactics. I think that there's healthy ways and unhealthy ways of growing your followers. I think if you're going to pay, and it's kind of like you pay for what you get, if you're going to pay $5 for 1,000 followers or 10,000 followers right now, you know, they're not going to stick around. But there are some more aggressive ways and more healthier ways. It's going to cost you more. You can pick more. So I know the big thing is like, well, if I pay for followers on Twitter, you know, a lot of people say that they're going to be, majority, they're going to be out of country, and they're not really going to, they're not going to turn over a result. But there's some organizations here that definitely, they allow you to market more to targeted areas. And so you can find those websites through doing some Google searches. And so there's some better ways. I definitely agree that no matter what you do, you have to have a healthy social media plan. You have to be posting every day. You have to be engaging with the audience every day. If anything's going to last, anybody can pay for a momentum, a tidal wave of marketing. The problem is that the wiser you are, the better you're at surfing that wave and really being able to ride it for a long time. And so I definitely do what you do with aggressively following. I think that's where you can grow very quickly, is that you follow people that are in similar interests. So, for example, if you're selling a car in a local area, it might be wise to follow some of the local restaurants in that area. Maybe it's wise to follow another chain in your area, follow all their followers. And so I definitely think it makes sense. I personally go, like, some people go, oh, to buy a bunch of followers on that you don't know is different from buying followers on Facebook where you can target ad. I just see it as buying is buying. Everything else in between is like verbal gymnastics to make you feel better as a human being. Yeah. Personally. So I just think there are grounds for it where it can be okay. But I did want to take a moment to highlight our sponsor. And so our sponsor for this show is Creative Church Staffing. And Creative Church Staffing, if you guys don't know who they are, they pretty much take all the hassle of HR and all this stuff around communication, around creative, like designing a brand, designing your website and so forth. You don't have to have the hassle of HR. You can just hire them. They take care of it. They actually did all the branding for our site. They developed our site. They developed our brand. We're very grateful for them. So to learn more about Creative Church Staffing, go to creativechurchstaffing.com. So with that, Niels, what are some lasting just thoughts before we end the show that we should wrap up as we're thinking about buying followers and being wise online?
You know, I think looking to grow our platforms, both, you know, personally in ministry and organizationally for our church is always, you know, from my perspective, a good thing. And actually personally, we can get caught up in that in negative ways. But if our goal is to spread the gospel with spread the great news to the ends of the earth, and social media is connecting our world, to use these platforms and be strategic through strategic marketing efforts to expand our platform, expand our reach, I think it's a good thing. And so I think we should be looking to do that at every opportunity in a moral and legal way. And I think there are plenty of moral and legal ways to do that. So I think churches should be, you know, encourage them to look to do that. But I think you're right too, with your point that it comes down to social media content and engagement and building that community. And these are just tactics to help grow the community. But it's useless to grow it without a great social strategy. And so center around the social strategy. And as you have a good social strategy in place, really look for some tactics to grow it. I think that's a good thing and a great opportunity for churches to expand their reach.
Yeah, and nothing is a long-term fix when you talk about buying anything. If it's marketing or anything, no matter if it's McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, or if it's, you know, Netflix, pretty much they spend a lot of money, but the product has to deliver if you're going to turn into a customer. And this is where you're talking about with a social presence is that, yeah, you might be able to buy something, you might be able, but if you don't have a great product, and this is why ultimately it comes down to, before you even get in the realm of marketing, you got to make sure your product, your church, whatever you're doing, everything's in tune from guest services all the way down to how to get people connected into the core. If you know that as a church, if you guys got that all figured out, if your volunteers know your mission vision, then whatever you're promoting is easy because the conversion is going to be very strong. But that's where you got to make sure your product is strong. And then you move on to the marketing side of things and getting that out. But I definitely think that some of these avenues are worth investing. I know we talked about a lot of different things throughout the show. We're going to provide all the links in our show notes. And so I want to thank Niels for being open and honest as we're talking about this. I know we even internally have some disagreement on this. And so this is, I imagine I'm probably going to get some tweets about this, how
I have no doubt
my opinion on this, but I'm being honest where I'm at and where I don't really have I don't think it's a big deal. But if to get engaged with the show, remember to engage with hashtag SNC podcast and to learn more about our show, go to socialmedia.church.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Stop by socialmedia.church for the show notes and to learn more about Social Media Church. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening.